Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Going back to where the beach is near, the beer is dear, there's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking around the front of
second, the whistle is gone, and Slider over is out of the champion.
By the riverside, you can watch the tide as it flows.
Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for us.
Get it right and drive it clean out over the fence. Out in the field of the corner.
In the bookie shop, I done.
Hello and welcome to the Sligo Show, Sligo's newest sports and entertainment show every Thursday night.
I think you might have the wrong show there, mate.
Oh, that's that new idea that's on Facebook every Thursday. Yeah, very, very great initiative shown there.
Original, I think.
Saucer of milk for the lads.
We're very salty here today, licking our wounds.
And I'll best of luck to the boys. Season 2, Episode 2, lads, at the Sligo Way podcast, sponsored by Bavaria 00.
Cool and refreshing.
Drinking and driving, have a 0-0. how are we, boys? Good to be back.
All good, Edo. Good to be here.
Yeah. We're a bit earlier today. We're well talked out today now. We're ahead of the game, are we?
We had a bit of a rushed job last week, I think.
But yeah. Training needed to be attended to now.
Giddiness. And you're booked in for you're teeing off in the golf
I'm
club,
teeing right? off this evening, yeah. I planned it around you, Edo.
Thanks very much, Ronan. It means a lot. So, lads, yeah, there's an awful lot to get through from last week's as well. Just from the correspondence, just from the general chit-chat. The Carvery
continues.
Raises its delicious head.
Yeah, the Carvery debacle, I nearly call it.
It is a debacle at this stage. It's very bad for the town.
Niall Kernan sent us in a tweet there, basically. He's right, though. He is right. There's only one place in town that does a proper Carvery anymore.
We're talking to Sligo Park, are we? What he's saying, no?
He's saying Sligo Park or the Glasshouse. Lyons's.
All right.
Okay. So Lyons's does a Carvery as well. But I suppose if you're looking for a bit of sustenance before hitting the beer on a Tuesday afternoon at maybe 12:30, 1:00.
The city hotel used to do a Carvery.
Yeah, we would have. Molly Fulton's doesn't know. Strikes me as a place that would.
Not town, though. Not town.
Can't be considered town. There's men talking about Carvery for reasons to fill their bellies up before they go drinking, I think.
So maybe that mad fella from Dundalk wasn't too far off. Maybe this multi-million pound Carvery idea.
It just needs to be marketed right.
Everyone, he was claiming millions. They were going for millions.
Everyone loves turkey and ham. Did he look for a definitive ranking of top Carveries in town? Did he?
No,
he
was just looking,
wanted acknowledgement.
Yeah, just that there is no opportunity. Like, he was saying that Lyons is always busy on. Yeah, it's a busy spot. It
I've got an idea now. Instead of these new coffee horse carts, we get a Carvery horse cart.
Yeah.
We could just pull up the big Carvery horse cart.
You know, like the ice cream van has a jingle. What jingle would the Carvery van have? Pulling into estates.
It'd be like, the Coronation Street theme tune.
And instead of all kids running after, like middle-aged men coming after with the check shirts on them.
Go on, put more gravy on that, will you?
Very good. I don't know that we answered that question at all.
No, I think it's just an acknowledgement that there is a lack of Carveries in town. I think that's what
big lack of Carveries, yeah. Petition going to get the Carvery. Well, look, there's talk that the Rovers might be getting the Carvery up in the showgrounds. We don't know. Will that take off? What else? A nudist beach discovered in Sligo.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I actually, I drove to Bullockmore yesterday and it was carnage out there. But you know the turn for Clifty Pitch there?
Yeah.
That place was swamped down.
Yeah.
So I assume that must have been the route to the nudist beach.
You can get to the sand dunes that way. Oh, the route to the nudist beach?
Hmm. Well, just on Twitter last night, this was...
Ross, you were in Bullockmore as well this weekend.
I was in Bullockmore, yeah.
Were you bathing?
Well, you can see by our sun-kissed arms here, the two of us sporting horrible...
Red raw now. So you reckon the nudist beach is across the soccer pitch?
Well, someone was saying Cliffney, so I assume that was the only place I could figure out where it could be.
Interesting.
And there was a huge crowd pulled up there now as well. So maybe, I don't know, there could be...
You think they're all nudists? Who's Alan Rooney on Twitter?
Alan Rooney was the one who spotted it,
I'd love to know how he spotted it.
Well, they've been wearing face masks, nude with face masks. was he pulling it down over there.
Was he sunbathing and like in his fucking, in a pair of Speedos and this scantily clad old fella shaking the fist and the other bits at him?
Well, actually, I was on the beach in Monaghan Moor myself yesterday and I was lying down and then I looked to my left and there was a fella, I'd say he was pushing 90. In the Speedo was doing sit-ups and push-ups beside me.
He wasn't 90.
I'm telling you, he was ancient. Some sight, but very nimble.
We might get a man for an interview.
Good start to this our sports podcast, lads. We'll move on. So when we're off the topic of sport, to the Strandhill Notice Board Facebook page.
Oh, God. What is... Local seaside town is full on sunny weekend, and that seems to be a problem.
Look.
Young hipsters yell at cloud.
Lack of clouds.
Not young hipsters. And half of it, I'm not going to say something I regret here.
You get ran out of Strandhill by the new Strandhill.
By the new Strandhillians. They're only there a few years. It's not even... Oh, they're fucking pretentious
bastards. What would they wave instead of pitchforks?
Avocados. I put a post up a few years back of something with the GA or something with the sport around the area. It got taken down for, what was it? I wasn't being local, or the post wasn't about local. But yet someone's having an old furniture sale there, and it's the biggest thing in the world, or someone's recycling their own shit to make vegetables.
People aren't happy though.
It was, now, in fairness, it was absolute carnage down there.
Carnage everywhere. The street, the beach was closed off.
Yeah. Bullockmore was honestly through my tail back
at it. The gala shop, some buck, you know, you can pull in there. The church was full car park, and there's people actually parking up my estate. But someone pulled in lengthways, and just caused absolute havoc. Oh, no, I had a few words with a woman. But look, I probably should have walked down to the shop myself. It's 200 yards away, and I drove down.
Just leave the hazards on and go into the shop.
And sticking with sport, Jack B. Yates.
Jack B. Yates, you were doubting me last week, lads.
Shame on us.
To be fair, I doubted myself, but... good to see he's going to be. We'd encourage everybody to go along to an island.
The model centre is opening again. So
that came the back of our show, was it?
It was. Reached out to us and a lot of traction. Well, there's rumour that they're going to bring the medal in.
His silver medal.
That's the big centrepiece of apparently.
Sorry, it's going to be phone here because Michael Drummond, wasn't it? Quashed the rumour that.
Oh, that he might have been the first Olympian. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I suppose
he's
not even from Sligo. No, I suppose we're laying claim to him.
Where is this now? Sligo's first Olympian played in soccer. John Joe
Dykes.
JJD.
I
think that was on the back of his jersey. he played for Irish in the Olympics. So
that was 1924 as well.
Out of the way, Jack B. Yates. He painted a race on the Liffey, actually, I think.
Yeah, that was the one. That was the a beautiful painting as well.
Now we're getting into sport. Yes. Now we're getting into sport. Mark McSharry.
Yes.
He had a statement out today.
Yeah, he's... Marco. Rightly so, I suppose. He's looking
local,
for...
Local sports enthusiast.
Yeah.
What did he do? We might try and get him on, I think.
I'd love to get him on.
Yeah,
we've reached out to the McSharry camp. Explain what he did.
I didn't really see it probably. It's about try-ins
attendance
for fans, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So he was saying, in fairness, he does have a point.
He is right. Like, shout out three games.
It's actually a huge advantage. Yeah. Like, he is right, like, on the basis that, you know, there hasn't been high COVID rates in Sligo, so why not have a test event here where it's actually easier to trace people?
100%, yeah, right.
And anyway, test event, no test event. I mean, fuck's sake, if 1,000 people can't sit in the showgrounds.
Open them up.
Safely enough, like,
it's, yeah.
You know, even
after
if you get
what went on over the weekends around the country.
Yeah, like if you think about it, like,
you've seen Cliffney Beach at the weekend. Oh. Not mask or clothes between. And that fellow was up trying to give the other fellow piggyback at one stage, and I didn't know what. But no, he's right, but you're right as well, and his point is right about Sligo, which has such low numbers.
Yeah, we're trying
to trace it. Like, if there's 1,000 people break out in Dublin again, that could multiply straight away.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think, no, we'll get the Mac Attack try and get him on for just a sporting related chat. No,
you're
no
edging towards the nickname politics. Towards them there. You have Mac Attack. And
yeah, McMillions, McMafia, loads of them.
Yeah, loads can rhyme with Mac. Mako. Mako Villapola. Yeah, love to get John reaching out. So that'll be great. I think that's it. For the intro, we're going into a small bit of surfing today, actually, for the first time on the show, Ross.
I might hit that now. McDale, I think, over in El Salvador at the moment. He's
beautiful this time of year.
Yeah, he's beginning his Olympic qualification. So I think he had round one of the qualification series, finished second, top two progressed to the next round. Now, that said, there are 9 rounds of qualification on this Olympic quest. But
Aaron O'Donnell has been keeping us up to date with that.
He has, and he's going to check in a little bit more. Correspond us next week to update us, but best of luck to him, another man on a Olympic adventure.
Jesus, 3 Olympians would be something else, wouldn't it?
Be unbelievable.
He was in the same group, his same heat as the world number one, was he?
I think so, yeah, but he finished second, so yeah, obviously class. The world number one must have finished first.
I presume it's judges and point scores are... Correct. We'll find out. Aaron's actually going to do, he's offered to do a surfing for dummies.
Yeah, so it's going to make it easy for us to know, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Okay, lads. Interesting start. We'll come back with the correspondence.
Hello, my name is Mr. Burns. I believe you have a letter for me.
Okay, Mr. Burns. What's your first name?
I don't know.
Okay, lads. A lot of correspondence, and as usual, it's the nation's favorite. The town's favorite.
It definitely is. Looking from the... We can check back how the show is going, and that's the most popular segment of the show, without a doubt.
Yeah. We'll start with one a follow up from one that came in last week as regards young Damien Cullen, a young listener who wanted to find out what the whereabouts of Benny the Bull. We started a petition, didn't really share it too much, but I kind of forgot about it.
I forgot about it.
We'll put a bit of life back into it during the week.
We made some inquiries, and there has been a half offer out to us to don the Benny the Bull suit.
Now, can I just say it here, Ado? You were full of beans for this. You championed for this. If we can reach an agreement with the Rovers, you are donning the outfit. It's not a shared thing.
I'll do it once, and we can document the day.
Yeah. Yeah. We're live streaming the whole day.
A day in the life playing the ball.
That'll be a live Instagram story for the day.
Yeah, it's sitting in an office. The suit is sitting in an office in the showgrounds.
Needs a bit of love.
We've tracked it down. Might need to go to Keeley's dry cleaners, maybe. But yeah,
definitely will after it anyways.
I'll do a game.
There we go.
Are you allowed to play a puck behind the goals though? Because I was thinking of doing like fake matador stuff and charging towards a red rag and all sorts of stuff.
I assume you could definitely jazz it up a bit.
How are the handstands? Could you do any handstands?
I'd say that suit isn't handstandable. I'd be afraid of it coming off and I've nothing underneath.
You think you're doing an unbelievable job doing a cartwheel and your upper half is exposed to the crowd. Only when you feel the breeze, you know you're in trouble. Exciting.
Fun. Yeah, it'll be good. What am I on about? Why did I say this now? But it'd be good crack.
It would, yeah.
It's just a trial basis. But what if the kids love me? What if you listen up to them?
What a buzz.
It could be a second job for you.
It could be, yeah. Big. A nasty mascot because I'm bullying other ones. I'd fight Hooperman for charity. So that's Damien, if you're wondering, your favourite childhood hero, Benny the Bull, could be on the way back.
Might be resurrected.
He might be. Okay. Murty, we'll go to you first for this week's questions.
Right. It's kind of a twofold question here that came in from Malachy McGowan and Shane Ward. So Malachy said, how can Sligo football be saved? I assume this is on the back of the... there's a BAV 0-0 being opened. Yep. But I assume this is on the back of the, trouncing that Sligo took yesterday. And then Shane Ward was wondering, after winning 5 in a row county titles, are Tortoiseshan targeting the Sligo Leitrim Junior Soccer League next year? Surely the only explanation why they have none on the county panel. So we'll go over to our GAA expert, Ross, on this one.
Yeah, definitely nothing from my end, lads. As you were.
What do you say? How can Sligo County football
so anyway, saved? Yeah, the saved, like...
I think club football has to improve, first of all.
Yeah, to take on board my suggestion from last year.
What was that again?
mixing up the championship. Although they've given it a good structure again this year.
I do think club football has...
I have a few thoughts. Like,
gone down in recent, in the last, compared to maybe 10 years ago. I definitely do.
I don't know if I said this last year, but the most competitive stages of Gaelic when we were growing up was probably between 1997 and maybe 2005-ish.
Yeah.
And at that time, you had, even if you brought it as far as 2000 Sligo, or 2007 when Sligo won Connacht, you would have had like years where Sligo won Connacht, Laois won Leinster, Westmeath won Leinster, yeah. Limerick went close and Munster a few times. But at that stage, there was two Division 1s, so there was 1A, 1B.
Yeah, a lot of people are plugging towards that. But
do you not think that raises the standards, though?
It does, but like Sligo aren't winning at Division 4 standards.
No, I understand that. I understand that. But like,
it does. Like, I don't mind the 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, if you're good enough, you get up the grades. Like,
yeah, I know. But by not playing these, like, I think...
I know what you mean. I do know
like,
what you
mean. Even the drop-off between Division 1 and maybe you might always, like, say Mayo or kind of walking through Division 2 this year. Yeah. Like, the drop, just not having played them top teams. Although, in saying that, Cork, Beck, Kerry is a Division 3 team.
Well, Roscommon are the best example. They've won a few Connacht titles, in two of the last three, but they're constantly kind of yo-yoing from Division 1 to Division 2. They do well to get more Division 2 and then they lose every game in Division 1.
They're
quite competitive doing a lot of the games, but so they might go back down again this year. But back to this, I suppose, the specific Sligo point. Well, back to what you said about the league. Like 2001, when it was 1A and 1B, the four semi-finalists were Sligo, Mayo, Galway and Roscommon. But I think like club football was so competitive, maybe. It is still competitive, but like before Tour de Strand won the two in a row there a few years back to start their five in a row, no one had won two in a row since 89 or 90. Yeah. Like, so it just showed it was every year those teams popping up.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there's new teams getting to finals, right? But I hope it's coming back. I do think it is coming back. Tour de Strand, obviously, being the team to beat. But then it's easy. Like, the question is, how do you fix like a football? Like, is. How do you fix club football? I don't know. There is very good underage structures coming through. Like the minors in the Connacht final last year.
People, you see, when people going about Gaelic now, my problem would be is that I don't think the gap between Dublin and Roscommon or Monaghan is the problem. I think the gap is now between the likes of Sligo and Roscommon.
Yeah, there is. There's a
huge gap there now. Do you know? Or like Sligo, say teams like that, like Monaghan who float around Division 1, Division 2, like they would absolutely...
Yeah,
you know,
I do think it's cyclical as well. Though.
So, yeah, that's true.
It definitely is.
That is true. Yeah. I remember chatting to my father about it. And I was like, "Are they always this bad?" And he goes, "For 15 years before we would have started going to games, they were absolutely rubbish." Like,
yeah,
do you know.
Well, not really. Yeah, but like the 80s and
so was that because you put a big push into the youth and then they come through and then you get like complacent.
A serious batch come through within 4 years of each other. You know, O'Hara, Taylor, Dave Durk, and them lads, and then the 96 minor team was very good, and the 98 minor team was quite good.
So what's the focus on the youth? Like, what?
No, it is. There is serious work going in. I was actually at under 20 training, watching it last Wednesday, and then I was at minor training on Sunday morning. And like, the setup is so professional. Like,
but what about the setup? Like outside of the county squads, like into the community, into the schools. Like, what's been done?
Oh, that's
there?
All done. Liam O'Gormley and Stephen Henry and all them. Ross Donovan, Pat Klein. Like, the schools are getting their coaching. Is there no, you know what there's not there, and it is with the team? I was saying to someone earlier, there's no big dog of a big midfielder kind of type thing. We've lovely footballers, but no big brute who'll just do dirty work and be
it's been a while.
I have a theory that's kind of, it's you don't see it in the very young ages coming through. Like,
I'm not even the adult team. There's no pig of a player, like, who's maybe not the most skillful.
Yeah.
Because the boys all playing around the middle are lovely footballers, like, and that. And just someone who's
probably been
the
that way for
work.
A good while, though. Looking back on it now, like, I can't, probably since Paul Durkin.
I was going to say Paul Durkin, it seemed like insulting, but he done the dirty work. He got his body in the way, like, he wasn't afraid to fucking. He tried to go off the pitch sometimes, but he put his head in the way, but that was different. Now, football was different then. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah. I suppose, small follow up there. So, could any reason why Tortoise ran have no players in the county team?
I couldn't tell you, really. I don't know.
There is a few in there, in around the
there is. No, there is definitely a few in around, I don't know. Like, I suppose the new management picks the team. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Liam Gaughan might have been coming out from an injury or wasn't fully fit. He's one that stands out straight away. But
he'd usually start anyway, though.
He would, yeah. Carl Henry, I'm trying to think. There's Ushing Kennedy. There's a good few around, but I don't know why they're not starting to look.
You don't pick the team?
I don't, and I don't know the ins and outs of it, but... Wardy's asking as well, do you think they're not, they're focusing on winning back the Sligo Leitrim title?
that's a
return of Clare Celtic.
That's that. Well, actually, that might lead us into our next question.
The Mara Clarana out there in Clare. it's in ruins. I was out there recently.
So would a Clare be... We've just got our question in from Shady McGee, as usual.
Yep.
With the return of junior soccer in 2 weeks, I want to know which old junior team would you like to see brought back to the Summer Super League? The teams that have their old squads, managers and facilities.
I'd straight for Quayside. Greatest times of my life.
Quayside was used as an example here, actually.
2006, 2007... 2006, 2007, 2008, now under the guidance of Michael Keegan, and drinking and shipping, had some of the best stories I'll ever have, ever.
Yeah, so Ross, I was there many a Sunday morning. It was unbelievable entertainment.
It was out there. People used to town. We used to massive crowds.
I remember going with a few games. Right,
stuffed, anything could happen.
What was the time that I was just sitting on the sideline? I think we were all absolutely dying, and McHugh was dying, and the ball just came out over the side of the pitch, and he absolutely lettered it with a volley. And the ref came over.
Dave Maloney. It's silly.
Yeah.
The yellow card.
Gave the yellow card sitting on the bench, and then he was pretending he was really upset with it.
So, not a Clare Celtic anyway, to be.
Oh, Keith said all the way, such crack the ship, and Huey Lowry then playing for us later. Huey Lowry, and definitely Keith said Ross, you had a great time. We won the Frank Kennedy Cup with the party back in our house.
Yeah, it was someone out of a night. The bathtub was taken out of the house, was it?
That was the other thing. That was when you lived. That was when you lived above Domino's. The bathtub was taken out. There's a photo of that somewhere, actually.
There is, yeah. You're Stephen Hinesy. I think Kegel's in the background as well.
Kegel. The manager's in the bathtub.
I suppose I'd have an easy enough answer for that anyway. I'd just bring back Chaffpool Rovers.
Oh.
Just to bring back the derby. Yeah. We had talked.
El Chaffico.
We were both involved in talking about getting a bus out for El Chaffico. Load of cans and getting a few flares and just picking one of them to support. Like, it's a really regret of mine that we never actually went through with that.
They'll never come back, will they?
I'd say there's such animosity now. It's a deep divide, that one.
It is, yeah.
The Chaffpool divide, like, there's actually, there'll be books written on that in the future.
Sure, we could do a standalone pod episode from both sides of the camp. We could go out and...
we'd try and reunite them.
Yeah, yeah.
I know...
Well, yeah, we could take that on board. As soon as we're getting Betting the Bull back, that could be our next community outreach.
I know twin brothers from up that area, and they don't talk. One of them's Rovers, one of them's United.
That's just the way it is out there.
Chaffico is.
Christmas has been ruined.
Oh, that is just the way it is.
The Chaffpool divide. Ross, have you got anything written down there? Next question.
I have nothing written down here, no.
I'll find...
I think I have most of them in front of me here. Favourite hole at Bertie's, lads. Always be, that's from John Keane. Favourite hole at Bertie's.
In the States, I think.
Always been a fan of 16. Attack the pin, downhill and finish birdie par. 18 was always a tricky one. So John there was looking at finishing strong there at Bertie's.
Yeah.
Would you have a favourite there now, lads?
I'm too pissed off by the time I go around that fair. Number five, mine, favourite, the Tiddler. Lovely wee short hole.
Six, is it? Yeah. The five is the one up beside the house you're playing, and then six is the Tiddler.
Six, sorry, Jesus. Yeah, I get you now.
Yeah.
I'm embarrassed. Yeah, six, the Tiddler, sorry. That's my favourite.
Ross?
Unsurprisingly, I'm brutal at golf, including pitch and putt. these dinosaur arms are just no good for a swing. We'll go with the Saucerator. I think you would have tweeted up about that before, did you?
Yeah, we were going to play it off that it was you.
Because you made a big birdie, but...
Yeah, the Saucer, another lovely hole.
I've played the hole about a million times, but I can't think of the name of it. But I'd probably go for the 13th. Every time I step up there, you know, the one downhill there, playing back towards the wall.
That's called Philip O'Malley, I think. Yeah, it's a big bulge around the middle and it comes down.
But yeah, every time I step up that hole, I think I'll put it close. So 13 will be my personal favourite.
I started off like a house. I went out there when they first opened. Like, I don't play it at all, but I love going out on my own. And a few weeks ago, when I first opened a few weeks back, and I went out.
You were very early one morning, weren't you?
I was, yeah. Too early for Bertie, it seemed. He wasn't open. I started off like a house on fire. A record, two birdies, a par and a birdie.
Nice.
Going around, and I'd say I ended with a 70-something.
That the collapse.
Yeah,
the actually, collapse. In John's question, he mentioned 16. When I was about 16 or 17, the course record at Bertie's at the time was 42, so we would have played it every day of the summer. Would have went the way I played competitions, whatever, but I was 10 under after 15.
Jesus.
So I was on the 16th tee, course record was inside. Course record was 12 under at the time, 42. And I put it to about... maybe 10, 12 feet on 16. Downhill putt, as John's alluding to there in the question. Downhill putt, I thought, I'll never have a better chance to have the course record. Went at the putt, lipped out, went about 10 feet by, missed one back up, and birdied the last two to finish 11 under. That was always a regret of mine. Was
The Greens aren't in great shape out there at the minute.
No, not at the minute, no.
That's a good question, John. Brendan Fitzsimons, lads, big question.
It's a big one.
Fair place to watch football as a pub, it means in town. He says Foley's Bar is his.
Yeah, I enjoy Foley's there, I must say.
Depends when you're what time you get in. You need to see, true.
Foley's will be, again, you've got, if there's multiple action on, you've got...
I enjoy up the back in Foley's.
Mm. Yeah, you've got the two TVs.
It's good to get a gangy in there, isn't it?
Yeah, I did enjoy the Strand Bar when they had it with the TV face. It's on the other wall. I know when you go in now, you're looking at the TV in the big back room, but it used to be on the other wall. So you were looking out towards the bar as well. Yeah. So you could be nosy at people coming in. You might even get the head to the barman, the old raised eyes for another pint and a big screen there, but that's gone now.
Yeah, honourable mention to Anderson's now is not a bad venue for a big match in the back.
Didn't they really for it?
No, I've had a few good ones there now.
Yeah, I went there a couple of times.
Special shout out to Furies when Jimmy was working there.
Oh, yeah. What a summer.
Euro 2016.
What a summer. Yeah, that was a great spot to watch it. You'd miss Furies now if we were in the Euro. I actually, I know the sponsor us, it might sound like I'm giving a shout out, but upstairs in the Belfry when the projector screen is on, if you've got them tables on the dance floor.
I didn't think of that either, yeah.
No, the Blues actually another good place to watch a game.
Yeah, the Trace Club is great for the football.
The banjo solo at half time.
Good question. I think that's it, lads. The correspondence, is it?
I think we've gone through them there anyway. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, very good. We're going to come back with rugby and the first interview with new head coach Joshua Reeves.
He's made 5, 6, 7 yards. The great bullock of a man.
Paddy Johns, welcome to the rugby section, lads. Ross, I have to apologise to you first off.
Yes, please.
Very, very sorry. I thought the boys were in the under-20 Six Nations camp for next season. I didn't realise it
just
didn't happen.
Just a bit of a smart-ass comment was
going
on.
Yeah, it was, yeah, and I should bow to your superior rugby knowledge.
A bit of tension, was there?
He was raging, yeah. So what's that? The lads are with the Irish under-20s and it's happening in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, the Six Nations is starting in a few weeks. Hewitt and Dunica, they were playing against Leinster A at the weekend, so it was just a trial match, finished 14-all, so good hit out. I think everyone in the squad was used, so I'd say we'll probably hear in the next week or so how the boys will do if they'll make the final squad. Best of luck to them. So before I jump into the Joshua Reeves interview, just a few other bits and pieces. Next week on this show, we'll have a bit of a episode with Killian Gallagher, Stephen Cairns and Conan O'Donnell. I'm going to chat to the boys this Thursday night, so three boys played Irish 20s, a very, very successful campaign. All went on to play senior professional rugby with Connacht. Conan's travelled around the world, played with the Sunwolves over in New Zealand now, training with the Crusaders, played with the Highlanders. And Stephen is over with Bristol at the moment. So it'll be interesting to catch up with the three boys, just have a bit of a chat about their careers and coming up through the ranks in Sligo and all off on three different paths now, so that'll be a good crack. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'm looking forward to that myself.
Yeah, so look, that's it from my end. We'll jump into the Joshua Reeves interview. I stuffed up the intro, but we took a second serve at it and got into it.
Look, I got it. Okay, let's hear Josh Ross talking to New Sligo Rugby head coach Joshua Reeves.
Okay, I'm Ross O'Boyle, and welcome to the... Oh, fuck me. We'll go again. Give it a second. Okay, it's Ross, and here's the Rugby Review, and I'm really delighted to sit down here via Zoom and chat to Joshua Reeves. Josh, we're really looking forward to having you here in Sligo. Thanks for taking the time to chat to me today.
Absolutely, Ross, mate. No problem. Excited to have a chat to you and talk about my coming over to Sligo very soon. Very excited.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be a bit of a culture shock coming from Rio de Janeiro over to Sligo. How are you going to prepare for that?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult. It's getting a little bit cold here at the moment. It's down to about 21, 22 degrees. So everyone's got their coats on already. I think getting over to Sligo, at least if I get over there, more or less just at the end of the summer, eh? So it shouldn't be too bad there. But no, I'm really looking forward to it. You live in a place like in Brazil. I live in Sao Paulo, actually, in Sao Paulo, where it's, you know, 18 million people and massive amount of traffic and heaps of people. And so I'm really looking forward to getting somewhere where there's a few less people and you can, you know, make some good relationships with people and make some good connections, get to know everybody. And it's going to be great.
Yeah, good stuff. It's definitely a different pace of life over here than 18 million people, but it can seem a bit crazy in Sligo sometimes, but you'll get to see that for yourself soon enough. So listen, talk to me there. You're, as you said, you're in camp with Brazil still at the moment. Talk us through camp and what's coming up with the World Cup qualifications.
Yeah. So that's it's pretty serious times at the moment. We're training pretty hard. We've just come off a hard week of training back this week. So the body's pretty sore. We've got basically three big games coming up for the South American leg of the World Cup qualifying. So the first challenge for us is to get past Paraguay, which we'd rate ourselves to do, but you've obviously got to take it seriously and do the business on the day. If we're able to beat them, then we go into a three-way tournament with ourselves, Uruguay, and the winner of Chile versus Colombia, which we're expecting will be Chile. So Brazil, Chile, and Uruguay would make up that three-way comp. And
this is the South American. It's for World Cup qualification ultimately.
Yeah. Yep, for World Cup qualification 2023 in France. So the top two of that sort of three-way tournament there go through to play against the North American leg of the qualification, which is USA and Canada. Basically, out of those four teams, two will go through to the World Cup, and the third one goes through the repechage. So, and the North American leg of the qualifying probably happen in November. So, if you know, all going well through this first part of the qualification, if we can get past Paraguay, get past Chile, then I'll have some more games for Brazil come November.
Okay, so it's 30 caps at the moment.
30 caps, yeah, 30 caps and a few more games. That's over a 4-year period. Played my first game for Brazil in 2017.
Yeah, you've been pretty much ever present then since then playing for them.
Yeah. I think I've started every test match at fly half for them, bar one, I think. Bar one, we've got a young number 10, Lucas Spargo, coming through as well. So I've been sharing a bit of time with him over the last year or so. So it's been good.
Good stuff. And I know when, you know, with the boys, when we announced your signing, like a lot of the boys have seen those videos on YouTube, highlights there from the games against Canada. They were big moments for the club, for Brazil, the national team.
Yeah, massive moments. They're sort of, we had a couple of really big wins over the last 4 or 5 years. Back in 2016, they actually beat USA. That was before I was playing, which was a monumental win. Then we had a first win in Europe against Belgium in 2017. And then 2017, we beat Canada for the first time. We beat them again in 2019. So yeah, there's been a couple of sort of historic moments for us. We're the sort of team, we're very emotional guys, as you can imagine, Brazilians. And so it's not hard for this group to sort of get up for the really big matches. So you come up against Canada or USA or a Maori All Blacks, we played really well against them, Barbarians, and we really get up for those matches. So that's been pretty cool.
Cool. And just to take it back a little bit more, because obviously you're a New Zealander with that accent. How did you end up in Brazil?
Oh, yeah, long old story. She's been a journey. I actually came over to Ireland and played. Believe it or not, I came over to play cricket in Ireland. I don't think you guys will believe that, but I came over to play cricket up in North Dublin. And from there, I got myself connected with Wanderers Club. So I played a season with Wanderers. Actually, the first year that Sligo was in the AIL, I played for Wanderers.
How did the result go that day? Can you remember?
I actually wasn't. I had to go home for the first half of the season for a family issue. But I think Sligo won that day. Actually, maybe 13-3 or something like that. Good solid game. So hopefully we'll be repeating that result again this year. And I was lucky enough. Anyway, while I was there in Dublin, I was lucky enough to meet my now wife Anna, who's Brazilian, and. We lived together a little bit in Dublin, then she came to New Zealand with me for a couple of years, and then in 2014 we decided to move to Brazil. My rugby was going decent at the time in Christchurch, playing for Shirley Club seniors over there, but sort of the writing was on the wall a bit for me in terms of my career there. It was guys like Richie Mwanga coming through at the club level there, and
yeah, he goes all right, doesn't he?
He goes all right. So I said, you can have the number 10 jersey there, Richie. I'll head off. And see what I can do in Brazil. So, and at the time, the Crusaders had a partnership with the Brazilian Rugby Union in Brazil, sort of high performance development. And so just through a few contacts, I learned a little bit more about how rugby was growing in Brazil. So I said it was a pretty good idea for us to head over. And yeah, been very lucky because the rugby has just grown so much in Brazil over the last 6 or 7 years while I've been here. And yeah, just right place, right time, really.
So you have a bit of a soft spot for Ireland, having met your wife over here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, we both do. So I think I always had a feeling at some point that we would get to head back to Ireland. I've huge admiration for Irish rugby. I think the passion that people approach the game, the detail that people learn the game. It's people talk about how impressive it is that New Zealand is. Best rugby team in the world with only 4.5 million people. But Ireland being a top five team in the world, basically with a sort of similar population, but at the same time, you're sort of dealing with the fact that it's not really the national sport. You know,
there's no, others. Absolutely. It's probably third or fourth.
Really
remarkable what they're doing. And I suppose to circle on that for a second, what is it like being in a soccer mad nation, soccer is life in Brazil. What kind of coverage was the game getting over there? Was it growing?
Yeah, it's grown. It's difficult because it almost doesn't really matter what sport you are in Brazil. If you're not football, then it's very difficult to get a lot of coverage. Even the other sports that are quite big sort of struggle for coverage compared to football. And there's a massive amount of coverage through ESPN, so a lot of coverage through ESPN. But in Brazil, to really gain popularity, you have to really get the free to air coverage, which is probably the similar story a lot of places around the world, isn't it? So whenever rugby's been able to get that free to air coverage, there's been a real boom effect. So one of them was obviously hosting the rugby in the Olympic Games in 2016. I think post 2016, there was a huge boom in rugby. An uptake in rugby in Brazil. It's been difficult over the last year and a half, with the way things have gone with the pandemic, and everyone knows how much Brazil suffered throughout the pandemic. So I wouldn't say there's been too much growth or visibility, let's say, of rugby over the last year or so. But no, we'll get there. Qualifying for the World Cup will help.
And I suppose just want to touch on the kind of relationship to Sligo, because I mean it's very it was very kind of the way the doors opened up and came about that you came on Sligo's radar. So there is a Sligo connection, how we met. Simon Coulter was over in, was it Uruguay or Chile? Was it Chile at the time?
Yeah, no, he was coaching S&C with Uruguay with their build-up to the World Cup.
Yeah.
And I met him, this is back in 2019, so met him in 2019 and they were developing for the World Cup. We got on really well, invited him to come and stay at my place in Sao Paulo for a couple of days if he was ever down in Brazil. I think a couple of months later, he'd finished up his role with Uruguay.
You were telling me, though, when you picked him up from the airport, he stood out a little bit.
Yeah, he was. He looked a bit hungover and he was red as a prawn. So I said, mate.
Easy to identify the paddy in the airport.
Yeah. I said, mate, let's get you home. Let's get you... He looked like he might not have eaten for a couple of days. So that was good. We got him home. We looked after him.
Yeah, and all fairness to Simon, he'd be one of the main reasons that I decided to come over to Sligo. He always spoke really highly about the place, about the people, about the club. We had a lot of good long talks about how much I'd enjoy it there. So, yeah, fair play to him.
Because I remember initially we asked Simon when we were looking for a prop, and we were looking all over the world trying to get a tight head prop in, and we'd asked Simon, and that's how you recommended Pedro to us.
Yeah.
And Pedro came over, and he's been fantastic, and I kind of feel for Pedro a bit. He's still here now, and he's coming back next season, but he only got to play about 3 or 4 games, so he really didn't get to see the full experience of Sligo. So we're really looking forward to seeing Pedro now, seeing what he can do next year, because he's really fit in with the boys, and he was, playing touch last week, and he's just such a big, gentle giant, very intelligent man. So he's just, you know, as you said, you can see that kind of passion. He's a very passionate guy. So we're looking forward to seeing him now with a big preseason under his belt and getting stuck in. And then also from discussions with Pedro, then we came across Guilherme as well. And Guilherme came over and same thing as well. He, you know, he lit up the game against Buccaneers. He had a really good debut and he was only getting started when the pandemic hit. So, you know, we're delighted to have Guy and Pedro back next year. So we're joking on the show next year saying you boys are going to be the three amigos. That'll be it'll be your nickname when you're over here. So
it'll be done.
Really nice for you to play alongside them two boys. It'll be good for you to link up with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, geez, I've a lot of time for both of them. Pedro, as you say, gentle giant, but great guy, good player on the field, big man, but really, really carries his body really well around the field. Good scrummager, but just a good bloke overall. So he'll be great to connect with him again. And Guy is fantastic. He just takes the game seriously and prepares his body really well and trains his skills excellently, and you know, both of them spent, you know, four years in the Brazilian high performance program, you know, full-time training for that, you know, for a good 4 years. So they're both extremely well prepared to play well, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose just we'll stay on Sligo. So I know you've already started reaching out to the players, building connections. You're really looking forward to getting stuck in, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait, actually. One of the main reasons that I was so excited to take the role with Sligo is just that sort of ambitious, exciting, energetic feel that I got from the club, got from you guys, and also talking to a lot of the players early on. Just, you know, a lot of them are saying really positive things about what we want to achieve this year already. So yeah, really looking forward to getting stuck in, but as you say, mostly looking forward to just building those relationships from the beginning. They all seem like really good guys. Absolutely love their rugby, love their community, and it's going to be good fun.
No, it's going to be good. I know the players are looking forward to you coming over, and a lot of the older members of the club and the club members, and they're all asking about you, and they're all really looking forward to getting somebody into the family, because that's really what it is. You know, once we take people in, you're in. Like, you know, it's there's a lot of people that have come over to play for Sligo, and they've settled down over here. They've married into Sligo, and they're still here. So look, it's a real family club. As you said yourself, it's all about those connections. So we're really, really looking forward to having you over here, and here's hoping it's going to be a pretty successful season.
Fantastic. Yeah, mate, really looking forward to it. Can't wait to get over.
Yeah, all right, Josh. Listen, good man, we'll leave it at that, okay? Thanks for your time, and we'll check in with you when you're getting in ready for them qualifiers and see how things are going, all right?
Cheers, Ross.
All right, good man.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Take care.
Okay, Ross, very interesting. Joshua seems excited to come here. I didn't know the Simon Coulter link either, so that's...
Yeah, he was the super agent there, so fair play to Simon. He's done us a massive solid there for the...
The big red prawn, as he called them. no, that's good news. That's a good rubber review, Roscoe, and looking forward to Thursday night. Back with Football Rovers Sligo Leitrim. Inglesine! Rovers, Murty, top of the league.
Top of the league, yeah. Another good win on Friday. It
was grounded out.
Yeah, back to the walls.
Different type of win.
Yeah, back to the walls sort of stuff. I suppose, like, the sending off probably... Although, in fairness, Harps are probably the better team up to that point. But the sending off kind of nearly just decided what we were going to do for the rest of the game. We just kind of sat in for the last half an hour after getting the second goal. But yeah, just another great win. Like, I mean, yeah, they just keep grinding out wins.
They're the big ones. They're the big points, aren't they? The ones that you earn from there.
I don't even think they've played that well this season. It's amazing. Oh, okay. I think Liam Buckley would be, like, obviously he'd be over the moon with the results. But, like, I think maybe the Bowes away game was one game where they really were dominant from start to finish.
Yeah.
Like, Harps had plenty of chances the other night. But, look, we won again. We're top of the league. We'd be top by a few points if it wasn't for them bastards getting fucking late goals.
They can't say, well, look,
so we're on to late points this season.
10 points from losing, like, from 88 minutes on.
When we were recording last week, the Rovers Shams game was about to kick off, so that was always a big win, but we don't need to go into that too much because it was just
Emerson
for a few days and then Harris. But yeah, we were 4 points clear and Shams again,
late goal, yeah. And actually, in a couple of WhatsApp groups, we kind of texted about 15 minutes ago and I just wrote Gaffney 90+4, and sure enough, fucking 10 minutes later, there he was scoring. Look, they keep winning. I suppose we can only really worry.
Sign of a good team as well, I suppose.
It is, to be fair to them. But, like, you know, we're heading into the break now. Break's probably, I think, coming an okay time for us. It'll be a good time for Shams as well. But I'd say we'll probably be looking ahead at Europe and maybe adding a couple of players to the squad.
I'll go into it in a second, but it's very interesting something you said last week. I kind of looked at the table, and the gap between fourth is something that's great
grown
to see. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that's, I did say it, I do always keep, like, Bowes are actually, in fairness to them, are flying.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if Bowes end up being closer to Rovers and Shams than Pats. Yeah.
Right.
They're a good side, just got off to a bad start. Seem to have, you know, just had a few issues or whatever. But
Georgie Kelly's getting a few goals.
Yeah, so, like, again, like, fourth is usually good enough to get you for Europe, but I suppose just always keeping that, just, I think it's always has to be forefront in the mind, because the year under Owen Heary, the last time when we were successful by not qualifying for Europe, the previous year under Barraclough, and the year under Owen Heary, that completely just killed off the good times.
Yeah.
You know, because there was no European money comes in. It makes such a huge difference. And, like, I'd assume now, like, don't want to preempt Liam Buckley, but I assume he will be looking at a couple of players.
Yeah, I was going to go on to that. What do you think? What's needed?
We probably just need a bit more, like,
backup.
Yeah. Like, I'd say maybe, like, I thought Johnny Kenny came on Friday when it's absolutely excellent and done what he needed to do. And, like, you know, we still have, like, when you look at maybe, you probably have Ryan DeVries on the bench the other day and you have David Cawley. So, like, even them three lads, you're kind of thinking they'd always be pushing.
DeVries hasn't kicked off yet, has he?
No.
This season? Like, last season, when he first signed, I know he had no real preseason last year, but he kind of came good after that.
He did, yeah.
So
you'd
hope maybe the break now.
I think he could be very big for us in the second half of the season. I'd say he'd be looking at some form of attacking option. And maybe I'd be slightly worried if something happened to
Buller or someone.
Buckley or John Mann. Right. Or Bulger. Them three are kind of pivotal. I think we're well enough covered in the full-back positions. We've got four players for them two positions. Maybe just an extra body in midfield and an attacking winger, striker type of player.
Kenny's just wise beyond his years, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He was really
what to do, like,
so smart. So smart when he came on the last day. And, like, you know, I think even the break will do Johnny the world a good when he comes back.
100%,
you know, so
he's doing his leaving cert, probably, is he?
Yeah, he is. He's doing his leaving cert, yeah. So, no, look, again, it was another great win. Anytime you go up there too, It was great. It's just great to get a win in Ballybuffet. Like, Harps are a good side.
Great crowd up there as well.
Great crowd up there. I'm actually raging. I didn't think
of it. I would have went.
Yeah,
definitely.
I was standing outside Connolly's having pints on Friday night going,
fuck's sake, Martin.
I could have drove up there.
Yeah.
But never even entered my head. But,
no, I didn't think, yeah. Because like I do, I work in Ballybuffet a good bit and like, it's easy to just watch.
Yeah, it's an easy game to watch. Yeah, fair play to the lads. It was actually
you can hear them as well.
Yeah. So, well, hopefully we're not too far away.
I was just thinking that. Fingers crossed. Yeah. Well, if Mark McSharry can get the job done.
Come on, Marco.
Come on, the Mac.
Look at old Mac is back. Some people were kind of not giving out, but going with the national coverage isn't great off Rovers. So I think happy days. We're not getting,
keep flying under the radar. Yeah,
exactly. You're top of the league.
I do think I seen a couple of tweets to Dan McDonald. All right.
Yeah.
To be fair to Dan, he's very like he does a very good like League of Ireland podcast.
Johnny Hurd.
I genuinely think like it does be the journalists are probably all Dublin based. Like, it's always going
it
to be
it was Ballyfane on Friday evening.
It is always going to be Dublin centric. The majority of the clubs are from Dublin.
Leave them at it.
I think we just fly under the radar here. Nobody talks about us.
Oh.
Do you know? Even a couple of weeks ago, the word was that Pat's edge closer to
Charles. After we were top.
After the win, so it didn't make any sense. We've gone ahead of Pat's or whatever. So. No, let them talk away and we just keep out here doing our thing.
I believe the European Conference League draw is on Monday. No, this day, 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah, this Monday.
Or no, we'll know the seeds. This is 2 weeks and it's on the next day, is it, or something?
Yeah,
anyway,
you can kind of nearly tell from the way.
Right, some boys doing some good work there, Eamon Kelly.
Eamon Kelly's a great man for the European stuff. So, look, it looks like there's going to be a few tricky draws in there. But there is some good ones in there as well.
Welsh teams would be grand.
I remember when you were obviously I don't think there'd be many travelling to the game.
Some will, I guarantee you.
Yeah, but back in the day, you used to be just looking for the stupidest draw possible, the craziest place to go to.
There's a few Albanian teams in it, isn't there?
The Slovakian crowd, Trnava, they're a seeded team in it. And they were all, that time we played them, they were all right. They weren't great, but looking at it, if Coleraine are going to be seeded,
Jesus,
and that Welsh team, Ballytown,
yeah,
like especially when we're not traveling, I think just give us the easiest draw possible. Like it's just worth so much money to progress now.
You could charter an old boat from Ullamore over to the way if we get the Welsh team.
From
Ullamore, of course. We'll look into that. Okay, Sligo Leitrim, Murty, fixtures were released for the new Super League, Summer League. Title on it?
Yeah, it's sponsored by.
You might go through the fixtures first.
Yeah, so it's sponsored by SIS Pitches. So he's kind of, what's happened is the two leagues are still, it's two cups for the Super League and for the Premier League. So first games are kicking off on Sunday the 13th of June. So basically in the Super League, the teams have been split into two groups. So the top two in each group will go through to a semi-final. Third and fourth will play off for a shield. And then obviously the two winners will go to the final to win the Summer Cup. So in our group now, there is Ballastadair, Carbery, Arrow Harps, and there's one other team. I've forgotten them.
I have a question on that. I seen the fixtures on the Strand Celtic page, okay?
Yeah.
One of the Super League groups is four teams and the other is six.
No, that's just
that's wrong.
Yeah, that is wrong. No, the original fixtures, he corrected the fixtures.
Okay.
There's two groups of five.
That's confusing. I'm not going to...
There's one group of six because there's an even number of teams.
So there's 11 teams Super League now?
No, there's 12, but Cliffney aren't competing in the Summer Cup.
They're all on the beach.
they've decided not to compete. Bonding. For whatever reason. So the two groups are split up. So I'll just give you, just for a flavour, the first fixture is there on the 13th of June. So it starts off with Ballastadair against Carbery. And
there's the Carbery van.
There's
the window.
Sorry. There we go. That's it. So Ballastadair, Carbery, and then we are away to Arrow Harps that first Sunday morning. In group two, you've Aughna against Manor, Ballymote against Merville, and MCR against Strand. So that'll be the Super League fixtures. Then going into the Premier Division, you have Glenview are playing Gairdín. Actually, Gairdín have pulled out of that league this morning, so they must have been able to field. So that would be a 3-0 win there straight for Glenview. It's their group one with Drumahair playing Colliery. That'd be a derby of sorts, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then in group two, you've Enniscrone against Carrick and Clanny against St. John's. So basically, you've got 11 of the 12 Super League teams. Tubber were the team I forgot in our group. And I think you have 8 of the 11 teams in the bottom league.
Okay. So it's going week and week, no minute.
Week and week, no break. Yeah. Well, we'll have a break week. I think ours is actually at the end because there's an odd number of teams. But no, it's going straight through to, we have fixtures up to including the 11th of July. I assume the semi-finals and final will be the week after.
Good.
I think the Connacht FA were looking for all competitions that recognise 2021 to be finished by July the 22nd. Right. So that, yeah, I assume we'll probably be looking at maybe a midweek semi-final and final if we get that far.
As we said last week, good to get back on the pitch.
We're going to try and stream one of the matches.
We might be streaming one of the matches with Elite Sport Video. So hopefully give you 90 minutes of non-stop action. Football.
Yeah, I suppose this day and next week, we'll be the week before we're back to the pitch. So we might have a little preview.
We could do a preview. We could do a few preview. Predictions.
Well, you couldn't stick me in the predictions, but...
We put me just stick out with the Caertrim ones.
But yeah, we'd probably look at it. We will look at doing something during these cup matches.
Okay, very good. Back with Gia.
Chance here for Jesse Sloan. Can he score? Yes! Sloan goal!
Okay, lads. Last sporting review, I suppose, of the week. The Gia. Sligo footballers beaten again. They lost in Louth. Very disappointing. Half-time... they lost 3-18 to 1-14 at half time.
Up a tree.
It looked on against the wind in the first half. Pretty impressive performance, I thought. Mikey Gordon got an early goal, but just completely disintegrated in the second half, really. Loud got a goal from the throw up, but again, cut through the middle. And
it seems the teams just cut through them now. Like lads running 50 or 60 yards without a glove been laid on them. Do you know?
Yeah,
no. It's kind of seems to be the story of the last 5 or 6 years.
I agree with you there. And a few people said that as well. Just the second half, yeah, there was fellas taking off and going and seemed hard to keep up with them. And then, look, the full back line happened and then they're in trouble because all this is we popped to a player and like, over the bar a goal.
Because we were saying last week that, you know, of the scores, what did they score against Antrim? 3-12?
3-7 from threes.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, they conceded 3-13. They're after conceding 3-18 now yesterday.
Yeah, and whatever conceded against Leitrim, was it 18 points?
Huge scores, like, you know, I know. Yeah.
But football, I suppose everyone's scoring. But like,
everyone is scoring, yeah.
Only 3 or 4 points scored in the second half. But yeah, they're right with the fellas running off the pitch. But like, if fellas are running at that defence, what do you do if you have to stick or twist, go to the ball, get it popped over your head, or try and hold them up? Just disappointing because at half time it looked like they were on for the league semi-final. I didn't think Loud were really up to a huge amount. They got it. They tagged on a few scores Loud just before half time. A few big kicks from it was a burn in midfield, and that kind of it was a sign. Not a sign of things to come, but like that held them a good stead. Because Sligo were up at 6 points at one stage against the wind, but it's disappointing.
It's a big swing now not to be competing. You know, to
it is, but like there's. The huge complaints when last year, honestly, I don't see a huge amount of change in what was going on last year either. So, I don't know, Niall Murphy's back, I know. But look, they're now in the Shield. So, Division 4 Shield final, they weren't supposed to be in it, but Leitrim pulled out today because of the Ballinamore Festival.
Yes, spoke that news earlier, didn't you?
Yeah, your man. Well, we got a call, that's why the reason, but that might not be true. probably not true at all. It's definitely not true. So Wexford have had a poor campaign, so that's in 2 weeks' time. I'll tell you what the Shield was anyways, first of all. It was the two bottom teams in each division. Now, there was only three teams in the Division 4 South, so Wexford went into that. But Sligo weren't supposed to be in it because if they played the same final and won it, they couldn't play the final because they're playing Mayo the next week. But now Leitrim have pulled out. It's going to be a final against Wexford in Laois in 2 weeks' time. And look, it's a good game to get because it's better than a challenge game, which they might not have got any around the place this late. Yeah. And Wexford aren't going so well, so maybe try something out there, get a win, and that's confidence. And then maybe not forgotten about, but the Louth game has gone out of the mind then a bit.
Yeah.
Because Mayo is in 4 weeks' time and they are pissing through Division 2.
Yeah.
A hot knife through butter.
Yeah.
They're good. Mayo can play at the level of the team they're playing against.
They definitely dropped to the level of the teams they're playing.
They can, but is there a bit more, like they hammered down and they put a good score against Meath yesterday. So, like they can.
Because even the Westmeath game,
they weren't. Yeah, not that I wasn't overly impressed with them.
But they always looked like they were going to win, and that's what I was watching it too, and you never felt like they were going to lose, kind of.
I think if Sligo, look, we'll talk about this later on, because we might have a preview show with RF, is the talk, Ross.
Yeah, that's the talk. I'm trying to get something sorted there for before the match, we'll do something. Yeah,
the big up for the match. But me, yeah, we'll talk more on Mayo later. I was like, again, thinking of like the Paddy Durkin, that running at Sligo. But I'm sure McAtee's a plan. Like, they've known months out that is Mayo in Markwich. So I'm very hopeful still.
It's a shame now.
It's naivety, but you know when championship comes round, you're hopeful.
It's a shame just the way it's panned out now with the league, because, you know, like, up
it is a bit,
70
yeah.
minutes up in Belfast, you're, you know,
that was it, yeah.
Going to be 2-2, and it's a different kettle of fish. You're heading off to a semi-final next week. And
true, and then half time, like, there's definitely been good performances, like, 100%.
And it is very short. Like, look, like, to be fair, like, in normal league circumstances, if you lose away to Antrim and Louth, it's not that, you know.
You'd pick up another few wins at home.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not probably that.
No, it's not. It's not. It's just the second half yesterday.
It was very disappointing yesterday. But
look, it is what it is at this moment in time. So Wexford into East Tyme is that for the footballers. But the hurlers, they're on a roll. Gerard Kelly Lynch was absolutely buzzing for them. He scored 3-9. They beat Longford 5-23-2-19. So that was a high scoring one.
They're flying along again.
Flying the league, yeah.
This is amazing run of league.
They're training up the divisions in the league, all right. So, which is good.
Our old Sligo Sats friend had a stat up, I think, at the weekend.
What was that again?
Just about how many games they'd won in the last two or three years. Yeah, but
14, I think, was it?
Yeah, they're very impressive now. You know,
they're going well. Yeah, a bit Longford. Kelly Lynch again. I said he's not the footballers this year, so he's playing well. Three players made it on the
team of the week.
Gerard K. Lynch's brother Tony in midfield, and Kevin Banks, Clare Star Hillman. Keep safe, Kevin, and come back to the senior footballers as well.
I was just about to say.
For the club. Watch yourself out there now, will you? But no, it's very good, and Banksy is. I was watching them train. I had a creep up the garden a good few evenings, fucking bored, but I was watching training game. Yeah, I hadn't actually seen much from playing hurling, to be honest, but he was very tidy. So they're going well, yeah. I'm not sure how promotion works, and I'll have to look into that, because there's actually a very good Twitter page called GA League Tables, but he'd no Division 3 table up, or Division 3B table up.
You usually have to win it, don't you? Do you?
I'm not sure if it's a final or what. Now, 2-3 weeks' time, Christy Ring comes around, and Offaly come to Markwich. Now, they're a bit between the teeth this year, because they've been Doldrums for a few years.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
That's going to be the test they've been looking for years.
Yeah,
Championship Hurling, I guess, a county that are well known for the hurling, so going well for them. And as well, the ladies are going very well.
Another good win for the ladies.
After a poor year last year. They're flying, yeah. Anthony Brennan managing them. 2-12-7 points but Fermanagh away. So they've won in Down and in Fermanagh in the first two games. So that's impressive. And they didn't concede a goal either in the two games. I seen Rian Bailey's he does the Ball Talk podcast, a good stat. Their goalie for the last two games had never played a club or a county game in goals until 2 weeks ago. now she's played two games. Is it Emma Gaughan? I'll have to look it up. But
Two clean sheets.
Yeah, unreal. So they're 2-2 as well. Anthony Brennan in charge of them. I was going to say something. Yeah, Fermanagh won the junior learning last year, so they're not a bad team. So hurlers win, ladies win, footballers lose, unfortunately. Look, we talked with the footballers and that question that came in earlier about what to do with Sligo football. There was a big thing last year after Sligo didn't play the championship. What was the headline? I think Austin O'Callaghan wrote of him, what is the problem with Sligo football or something? Can we get a bit over, what's the word? Are we over ambitious maybe at times?
Possibly, yeah. But
you have to be ambitious. Like, I know like Neil Ewan, he said in his interviews, like, he wants to compete and they're well able to compete, and they are, but
yeah, I suppose even if you look at from when Ewing would have first come into the Sligo team in 2008, I think he said.
Well, he came into O'Connor Champions, yeah.
Yeah, and like just the level where they've got, like, I know I've probably mentioned it here a couple of times, but I just find it so hard to believe that in 2012, when
we ran Mayo by two points.
Was it a point or 2 points in that Connacht final?
Yeah.
Mayo probably should have won that. Well, Donegal beat them that All-Ireland final, but just the difference between 2012 and 2015, and then even 2015, it seems to have dropped again, because the day we bet Roscommon in 2015, that day just seemed a long way away as well, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I suppose, as we talked about anyway, I suppose throughout the history, they've spent a lot of time in Division 4. So maybe we have.
And you know, I said last year, Division 4, a few years before, mightn't do any harm. You're playing county football against teams like Louth. They came down from Division 3 last year. Like, they're not bad. I think Antrim are on the way up. So I know, like, we all want to be competing, but sometimes just you can't. Two teams can only go up.
Yeah, and for probably the last two or three years they were in Division 3, they were just on the border of being relegated anyway.
Probably, which tied a few years. Yeah,
they never looked like they were going to get promoted. Maybe there was one year, maybe by 2017, they looked like they might have, but they were never, like, you know, they got seven defeats that last year to play in Division 3, so going into Division 4 might be no harm for them.
No, I don't think it's panic. Like, no, look, that's not the right word, but everyone's looking for what's wrong. Just
let it happen.
We need to get a few wins, but I think the players, like skill-wise, I think we're better with players to compete with anyone. And I've said about the forward line, look, it'll come good. We won't panic just yet. 26th of June, RF. Okay, lads, okay, we'll come back to the last bit. We're going to do the dancer for the first time this season.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For the Sligo dancer, there's a Kaylee in the tavern, come on in.
When you drive the ball down the field, what are you doing? On the floor again.
Okay, the first Sligo dancer of the series, sponsored by Bavaria 00. Drinking and driving, have a Bavaria 00. Okay, lads, who are you going for?
Go on, Ross, you go first.
I'll go for my surfer, fellow Corey man, Garage McDade.
Yeah, you only feel he's a Corey man there because Aaron O'Donnell has just wrote in to the Instagram page.
Yes. But nonetheless, he's dancing for me.
Honed in Strand Hill, though. Honed in Strand Hill. Oh, we just got another correspondence and we might read this out, actually.
Roger.
We'll read it out after this. Sorry, Murty, go.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I know I mentioned that last week, but Billy Brennan, who was accused of handicap tampering by Shane Ward last night. But
what?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wardy was accusing him now of big stuff last night. But anyway, Billy got a hole of one on the second hole. It was 160 yards into the wind.
In Strand Hill.
160 yards into the wind, and he put a 6-iron straight into the hole. It cost me a pretty penny, so I did now having to pay him out because we do have a few side bets. But it's an unbelievable achievement. Like, genuinely, like, I'll go through my life and I don't know. The odds are probably against me ever getting a hole in one in golf. Bertie's now a different kind of fish, but like at golf, they're so hard to get. So yeah, he gets my nomination.
Fair play, Billy. And shame on you, Wardy. I'm going to go for Jared Kelly Lynch, lads. Score 3-9 in a game, anything, is at 18 points. Hurling. So hurlers on the up.
Tough earn this week.
So who's going to get them? You'll either have Garage McDade in the sea with a pair of white fronts on him, Billy on the golf course.
Talking out for character in a couple of weeks.
Billy Lynch in Magfish Park. So there are dancers for the week. We'll get that photo up in a while. Just one more bit of correspondence in while we're talking there. Declan Baskell, he off Sligo Leitrim Twitter page fame.
Sligo Leitrim soccer page, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Oh. Copyright. It kind of goes into Fitzo's question and Niall Kernan's Carvery bits.
Oh. Mm.
It's best hostelry to watch the Euros during outdoor pint. Oh, sorry, I thought he meant eating as well. It doesn't go into them two questions. So, best hostelry to watch the Euros during outdoor pint regulations.
Well, with that one, I don't.
Who's going to do it is the question.
Yeah. The only place I can think of at the minute with a TV outside is...
Foley's have a marquee at the back.
Foley's have a marquee at the back, actually.
That'll be
now.
That would first come, first serve.
And they had the TV.
They've done a lot of works there.
Do they?
Yeah. Beer Garden. They've got a sensational Beer Garden.
Blue looks amazing now.
I'll give you on Peter Meehan a shout-out.
Yeah,
I never talked to him.
Peter's top lad.
There's a teacher in Summerhill who was telling me last week about him, like, that he transferred to us, and he goes, you know Peter Meehan, do you? And I said, no. He goes, he's telling on me all about the Clara Mansion before I transferred. Like, I never talked to him in my life.
Peter,
and he said he's going to be a politician. But I have good time for him.
Peter's a gentleman,
know.
Yeah. He's actually, I think he did, my brother was telling me, he did some sort of Blockbusters, they did a Blockbusters game in Summerhill for the Leaving Cert or something. Peter presented it, but Peter is...
He's a man about town for 17 years of age, isn't he?
He really is.
Might get him on at some stage. Yeah.
And he knows all about junior soccer as well.
He does. He's a good on Twitter as well.
He's well involved in St. John's, but...
He'll be a future dancer here, I think.
He could be a co-host.
And he's got good plans for the Blue.
Yeah.
He comes from good stock. His father Aidan's a top man as well.
Sorry, so you're saying... where is there? The Blue... Do the Blue have the TV out?
I'd say they will have TVs now. They've done a whole pile of work down there, but I suppose Foley's.
Didn't Belfry used to have one out in the outdoor
smoking area? Yeah, they'd have one there. I assume the places are going to have them now for that month. Like
car park clubs or something, because the snug in the car. All those places people are at these days, isn't it?
Yeah,
I know of one man who was there drinking last night, and
there was a few. I was coming back from Mullaghmore last night via Cliffney, and. You might most nice tan here now. It's not a fireman's tan.
It's an all over tan.
Yeah. Popped in to meet a couple of messers there in the Stephen Street car park.
Yeah.
I got in there at 9 o'clock. They just stopped serving. I was looking to get a Guinness for the road, and it revoluted John Quinn a 5 or 20 minutes earlier, but he didn't go to the bar and get me one. But that's neither here nor there. And it was actually, to be honest with you, there was music being played, there was crowds of people everywhere, but it was really tame and it was nice. Like it was.
I think I was there Friday night now, and it wasn't busy or anything. There was a few drinking.
It was nice. I was actually impressed. The behaviour was good just by 9 o'clock.
Saturday now, I think, was a bit more. There was a lot more people there Saturday, but I suppose.
There might throw TVs out there.
Give them bins and toilets and see how they go.
It's fine. Like it's. We'll be back on COVID talk again. But I'd say, look, in answer to the question, I assume that most pubs for the month of June are going to have some sort of TV out there anyway. So
we'll say the Blue, the Belfry, and Foley's at the back.
Yeah.
Good?
Good.
Yep.
Good to go?
That's us. Yeah, for this week.
Okay, see you next week.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking around the corner, second, the whistle is gone, and Sligo Rovers at your back. By the river's side, you can watch the tide as it flows.
Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
So bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
Gary tried and drives it clean out over the gate. Out he's a corner. Jesus,
in the bookie shop, I don't know.